Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
But the theme of this month is what? Some people are like, I've not been on Instagram. Solid roots, solid fruits. And today we're talking about lamp and light. And lamp and light both mean the same thing. We're not saying them differently because there's a deep revelation between the difference between lamp and light. Although you can have a lamp, but if you don't put it on, you won't have light. So you can have the word, but if you don't use it, it won't illuminate. It can't direct. Permit me to illustrate. It's finished. Glory be to God. So there are so many things that I'm good at. So many things that I'm also not good at. Haters will say I can't dance. It is what it is. but one thing I'm really bad at is dancing. No, not that's not what I wanted to say. I'm bad at dancing, but that's not the point. One thing I'm really bad at is gardening. You know how people say, if you're a plant mom, have you ever seen those, all those your single friends? I say, yeah, are you a plant mom? I once went for a parenting conference. And we're talking about parenting, raising children. And one lady there said, well, I haven't raised any kids, but I've raised like 10 dogs. And I'm like, and then she proceeded to give us advice about parenting from the dogs. But anyway, plants. So if it's by how you treat plants that will determine whether you'll be a good mother, there'll be a what? Problem. Because I'm horrible with plants. Are you guys following me? I'm going somewhere, I promise. I'm horrible with plants. In fact, they were setting up my office and the guy, what do they call those interior guys? He put some plants there. And I say, these things will die. He said, no, PL. You just have to water them once a month. These ones are very rugged. They need little water, little light, not too much stress. I said, okay. They were really rugged. But one still died. So I'm very, very, very horrible with plants. But even for somebody who is not a green thumb, is that what they call it? Like myself. Okay, I forgot to tell you, all the other plants in my house are also dead. Like half of them are dead. But I'm a good mom. You see life. But for someone who is horrible with plants, one basic thing I know is that plants need light. Is that true? Plants need light. So I'm very grateful to God that I'm teaching on how to build spiritual roots and not physical roots. But one thing that physical roots and spiritual roots have in common is that they both need what? It's not optional. Light is not optional. For anything to grow in the ground, it's not a matter of, my truth, your truth. Maybe you're driving by 10 a.m. in the midnight, and one trailer is coming and he doesn't put on his lamp, and you're able to avert an accident. And I say, oh God, why didn't you put on your lamp? And he says, see, it's not by that. In my mind, I can feel my way through the streets. It might be light to you, but it might not be light to me. Light is what? Light is light. And it's not optional. There is a reason why when we get to traffic light and it's red, all of us that are reasonable, stop. Because I was driving with my kids one day, and the light was red. The light was red. And I told them in school that you stop at what? Then somebody passed. They say, what, mommy, why did that guy pass? I say, my dear, it's Lagos. But there's a reason why normal people all stop at the red light. Because you don't say, I identify it as blue. Truth is truth. And it's not optional. Praise the name of Jesus. And to speaking, in John chapter 8 from verse 12. This is such a powerful verse of scripture. You came to church to study the word of God. John 8 from verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I want us to read it together. What did Jesus say? Want to go? I can only hear those to my right. Want to go? Okay? He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have what? Somebody shout hallelujah. What an assurance that through the potholes of life, you can have the light of the word of God. Praise the name of Jesus. That no matter how dark it is, the headlamp of God can lead you through dark, dark situations. He says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not stumble in the darkness. And in this world, it's very easy to feel like any small thing you can fall. Any small thing you can stumble. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Que sera, sera. But not the man in Christ. The man in Christ does not stumble in the darkness because he has the light of the Lord. He has the light of the Lord on his inside like a compass. He has the light of the Lord on his outside like a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. Praise the name of Jesus. And so the psalmist is speaking in Psalm 119 from verse 105. He says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it goes without saying, if you were living in those days, there were no traffic lights. There were no street lights. So if you were walking on a dark path, you had to go with your own lamp. Someone said, that's just like Nigeria. But it's true. The light of God can guide your path. Don't think that you need to live through life unsure of what to do next. I will not stumble in the darkness because the light of the Lord guides me. So what do we mean by light? By light, we mean the word of God, but in more definite terms, I will explain. Number one, Jesus and his gospel. What did I say? If you whisper it, it's true. If you shout it, it's true. What did I say? Jesus and his gospel. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 16 says, I want us to read that together, so I'm going to wait for you guys to get there. If you're there, say, If the screen is there, say, All right, let's read together. Matthew 14 from verse 16, want to go? Yeah? This is so beautiful. He's talking about the light of the gospel. The people who sat in darkness, after Adam fell, for years after years and generation after generation, people were in darkness. But then Jesus came and died. The people who sat in the darkness have seen a great light. I'm mentioning it because many times there are people who get ideas, inspiration from the word of God, but don't realize that the words points to the word that became flesh. I'm going to explain. Have you ever seen someone that you are preaching to and you say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And the person will tell you, let me know if you've heard this before. Me, I know Bible more than you. Have you heard that one before? Say, me, I didn't read Bible. Even the name of my picking, I get that for where? The name of my business, where did I get it? And there are people who believe in the word of God for advice, but don't understand that all scripture was meant to point to Christ first and foremost. Do you get that? So when we talk about the truth of the gospel, that's one of the most important things in the word of God. You know, I've seen someone teach on how to diet, how to eat the right food, only from scriptures. He's a doctor stroke pastor. And so he went to Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all the foods God said the Israelites should not eat. He wrote a book about how those foods are not healthy for you and about how the ones that God said they should eat are healthy. And it's nice. It's what? It's nice. But that's not the core reason for scripture. So if you study your Bible, it must first point you to Christ and what he has done before pointing you to everything else. Praise the name of Jesus. When we talk about the word of God, we're referring to Jesus and his gospel. John 1 from verse 4 says, in him was life, and that light was the light of men. So the Bible is not just a self-help book. You are not studying it properly if you don't realize that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Praise the name of Jesus. Number two, What is light in the context of the word? It is the counsel of God outlined in scriptures. What did I call it? I'm going to let you write it down in 30 seconds and ask you again. The counsel of God outlined in scriptures. Those to my left, what did I call it? Now, what happened? Those to my left, what did I call it? I know you had it in you. Glory be to Jesus. Those to my right, you're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 16. Are you there? 2 Timothy 3 from verse 16. 1, 2, go. Glory be to God. It says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Is what? This is a good word. Profitable. It profits. It's not stressful. It's not indifferent. It's profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17 says that the man or woman of God may be what? Hey, maybe what? My version says may be perfect and thoroughly furnished for every good work. So a believer does not just identify as a believer. There is a training required in the word. Do you understand? So first of all, you believe in Jesus by grace through faith, but then you are thoroughly furnished in the word. You study like a workman that needs not to be ashamed. If you go to a hospital and say, please, I need to do an operation. And someone's saying, go for it. But maybe you need to do it for real. And then somebody says, oh, I identify as a doctor. And someone says, I identify. And you're like, do you have the qualification? The person's like, don't look down on me. Don't be so judgmental. I feel like I'm a doctor. How will you allow them to touch you? Because there is a minimum standard. Are we? There's a minimum what? So what makes us thoroughly furnished is what? The word of God. The same way a doctor needs to go through school for 7 years or 10 years in Nigeria. Sorry, 10 years plus. No, now, it's not your VCs that are counting votes. How did we get there? Glory be to God. What makes you thoroughly furnished? The word of God. So the same way medical school prepares someone to be a doctor, that's the same way the word of God prepares you as a workman in the word, as a workwoman in the word. Praise the name of Jesus. The counsel of God outlined in scriptures. The Bible says all scripture. Somebody say all scripture. You know, I did a post a few days ago on Instagram when I was doing some research. That's why I go online for what? Research. Not to learn things. Get to learn things for research. And I said, you shouldn't hate people because they are members. They are not members of your political party. People are quiet, like, PL, don't go there. I will go there. I said, you shouldn't hate people because you're not members of your political party. And people started asking me, what if there was somebody named Holy Spirit? That's the person's name. Person said, are you saying you should not hate them even though they belong to a wrong political party? I'm going to respond before, if she's watching now, she might delete. But what I plan to respond is, ask the Holy Spirit. Because there are times where we feel like there should be a different standard based on the situation at hand. When you are wronged, you are able to remember the word of God and say, this person should not have treated me like this. But when you are the one who is wronging others, sometimes the standards are different, but not in the word of God. In the word of God, the standard is the same. In a world with ever-changing systems, the word of God remains the same forever. Praise the name of Jesus. And so you must build your convictions on the word. The word of God must be the reason why you do what you do. I won't cheat in my office because of the word. I won't date an unbeliever. Hello. Some of you thought you escaped after Love Code. I'm back. I'm here. I won't date an unbeliever because of what the word of God says. Not some of you think that once somebody has money, it changes the equation. You are solving the wrong mass. Go to the word. Stop changing your convictions based on situations. Let your anchor be on the word that never changes. The counsel of God. You know, Jesus is speaking in Matthew 4 from verse 4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Hello. Some of you might not relate to bread. You don't like bread. Man shall not live by fufu alone. Man shall not live by Nigerian jollof. I feel like Nigerian jollof can survive you, Sha, a little bit. But man shall not live by Nigerian jollof alone. Man shall not live by money alone. Man shall not live by social media followers alone. But by every word. Somebody say every word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it means that we don't just speak a scripture and run with it. We're looking at the entire counsel of God. There's an old humanistic joke that pastor has shared so many times that I can never get over it. A man opens scripture and says, wherever I open is God speaking to me. And so he opens and he reads this. Judas went and hung himself. It's like, God forbid. God, I'm going to give you one more chance. And he tries again and opens. And he says, go and do likewise. And it's like, God forbid, in the name of Jesus. Out of the mouth of two or three, a word is established, remember. So he goes the third time. And he opens and he says, what you have to do, do quickly. So it means that if you want to get the counsel of God on a particular matter, for lack of a better word, use your head. How can you pick one verse? Somebody wrote a letter to you. Maybe the person wrote, I love you, but not anymore. You just speak, I love you, and go. Then you are bringing it in court. Go and study properly. Go and find out. Because you see, God does not contradict himself. So what's the counsel of God concerning your family? What's the counsel of God concerning your health? What's the counsel of God concerning your career? What's the counsel of God concerning your dressing? Hey! PL, how did you get there from year to year? What's the counsel of God concerning your lack of exercise? What's the counsel of God concerning your use of swear words? Church will not close. We are here together. What's the counsel of God concerning the way you treat your siblings? Concerning the way you treat your mom, your dad? What's the counsel of God? Go and study and find out. What's the counsel of God concerning how you treat those who have wronged you? This guy was so tired. He said, God, Jesus, how many times do I forgive? 7 times in a day. And he thought Jesus would tell him, even me, I know they forgive like that. Jesus told him 70 times what? 7. Even the devil cannot annoy you 70 times, 7 times a day. Praise the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. This is so beautiful. I know that you know the word of God is something that you need, but it's high time you start treating it as something that you desire. Do you get that? You need to go to work. You desire to finish a series on Netflix. You see the difference? You need to get up and study, but you desire to stay in bed and rest a little more. Imagine if you channeled your desires to the word of God as something that you love. That when the word of God is being preached, it's going to be an exciting time for me. When it's time to study my Bible, it's going to be an exciting time for me. And maybe it was like that for you when you first became born again. But now, you're a big boy in Christ. Don't lose your wonder. Not your neighbor, say, don't lose your wonder. Say, treat the word of God as something that you treasure. Treat it as something that you treasure. And we will know if you treasure it. We will know if you treasure it. When you hear Jesus is coming soon, how do you respond? When you hear, they never see me coming. Some people don't want to laugh, then we cannot say I treasure it. Treat it as something that you treasure. Praise the name of the Lord. Number three, the impact of that truth and counsel in our lives. You see, the point of knowing the word is doing it. One of my daughters came to use my restroom, and I said, I'm using this. Go away, go to your room. Go and use your restroom. And she said, Mom, it's going to get dirty. I'm like, that's the point. The point of knowing the word is doing it. Jesus is speaking in Matthew 7 from verse 24. Those to my extreme right will read 24. Those here, 25. Those directly in front of me, 26. And those to my left altogether will read 27. One, two, let's go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 25, who's reading that? All right, 26, let's go. Mm-hmm. 27, let's go. What do both houses have in common? The one built on sand and the one built on the rock. Did it rain? Did the winds blow? So it means that regardless of how you go about your life, challenges are bound to come. But the difference is what you are building on. Build your life on the word of God. Build your life on the word of God so that even when situations and challenges come, you are able to stand strong. You see, because the word of God abides forever. Praise the name of Jesus. Build your life on the word, I beg you. Jesus says, be doers of the word. Don't just be a hearer only. So both of them might have heard the word, but the one that's built on the rock is the one who did it. The one that built on the sand heard it, but did not do it. Are there aspects of your life where you have heard the word of God over and over and over again, but you haven't done it yet? Say, this solid year, I'm preparing to try and solidify myself to do. Last year, greater light. I'm getting to the point where I feel at peace to finally do. I'm arranging myself such that I can finally get to the point of trying to do the word of God. You've explained yourself away for too long. Now is the time to do the word. Stop claiming you know it if you are not doing it. Have you ever been in the same car with a learner before? Okay, maybe you're not that unfortunate, but you've seen a learner on the road. You know, some people will be arguing. I know it now. When I started learning, I almost killed someone. I almost destroyed my marriage. If you're a wife here, I want to beg you, in the name of everything that is good in the world, if you love that marriage, don't let your husband teach you. Take it from me. This is my 90. I'm telling you. Joseph's husband said, you want to spoil the car? I said, what do you mean? Is it because it's your car? I came and I started walking. Oh my God, it's like 3 years to learn how to drive. Because you start, then you fight. After that, PTSD for like 6 months. But even then, I claimed I knew where the break was. But I pressed accelerator and nearly jammed one woman. And there are many people who claim to know. But the proof of your knowledge of the word is in the doing. The proof of your knowledge in the word is in the doing. When you enter exam hall, it's what you write that matters. Not when you come out with your friends and you say, ah, and I knew it though. Can you imagine if the results we had in school was based on what we told our friends after we came out? It would be different. There's no way some of us would be selling hair on Instagram now. No way. Me, I wish I was selling hair. Sha. There's money there. Glory be to God. Do the word. Do the word. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock. John is speaking in 1 John 2 from verse 11. He says, whosoever hates his brother walks in the darkness, is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. He doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So let me understand. The light of the gospel has been preached to this person. They have become the light of the world. But because this person does not love their brother, this person is not doing the word, so they are in the darkness up until now. They've forgotten who they are. Praise the name of Jesus. Why must we walk in the word? These are very easy questions. Just tear out the sheet of paper. Number one, God authored it. God authored it. God authored it. The Apostle Peter is speaking in the second book of Peter, chapter 1, from verse 20. It says, knowing this, that no prophecy of scriptures is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God said it. God authored it. This is the same God that we all agree knows everything, knows the end from the beginning. He's the one who authored the word. You know, there are different stories that atheists give. There's one that said, three blind men approached an elephant. I don't know what they did without the elephant stepping on them. But they approached. And one touched the nose of the elephant and said it was a snake. And the other touched the leg of the elephant and said it was a hippo. And another touched the tail of the elephant and said it was a tiger. And so you see, the thing about religion is it all depends on how you look at it. Rubbish. Because the person that told the story told you that it was a what? Elephant. They say, you know, religion is just like the number 6. If you're coming from this side, it looks like 6. If you're coming from the other side, it looks like 9. It all depends on the way you perceive it. Let time come to defuse a bomb. They won't call everybody and say, so what's your truth? My truth is that it's 3. Let's accept everybody. It is what it is. The answer is what it is. God authored it. The word of God is the standard. The word of God is the standard. The word of God is the standard. No scripture is given by private interpretation. God was intentional enough not to leave you to stumble in the darkness in this dark world. So year after year after year, over thousands of years, he inspires men of God to write things down. Praise the name of Jesus. God authored the word. Why must we walk in the word? Number 2, Jesus approved and used the scriptures. Scholars tell us that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament about 78 times. In the 4 Gospels, 10% of the 1,800 verses have the words, it is written in them. Jesus walked in the word. When he sees the disciples on the way to Emmaus and they are arguing about whether Jesus died or Jesus did not die, Jesus doesn't say, can't you people see? Did they block your eye? He shows himself to them first in scriptures before showing himself to them physically. Praise the name of Jesus. Why walk in the word? Your security and safety is in the word. I learned this memory verse as a child, and it really changed my life. Psalm 119 from verse 9. I said, your security or your safety is in the word. We live in very dangerous times. I'll give you an example. My daughter is learning how to use the computer, the one that's 6. And she's finding some strange things interesting, such as typing numbers from 1 to 300. And one day she used like 3 hours. She said, I'm working. And I came. She had typed 1 to 300 on Word. Then the next day she began on PowerPoint. And PowerPoint came with some pictures that were there before. Did you get? So the format she used, there were 2 guys holding each other like this. And she was using it to tell a story. Notice, so she was not on YouTube, was she? She was not on the internet, was she? It's a tool for work, Abby. Basic computer knowledge, PowerPoint, nothing so deep. And the 2 guys were like this. And my daughter, in her innocence, typed, are they brothers? Two people of different skin color. So now I still haven't like answered the question. Because she just assumed that they must be brothers for them to be doing that. They're brothers. And then there was another one. They wrote going on a date. She said, Mommy, what is a date? I said, date is when married people, a man and a woman. Nobody world go teach you, now me go teach you. So there's so much that we are exposed to in this world, and there is an anxiety. Many of us didn't really care about Nigeria, for example, until we realized that we are likely going to have kids here. And then you that hated the news when you were growing up from channels and arise to what? Channels. Eh? What is film? You are closing your eyes. I'm watching it. You have turned to your father. So there's a lot of anxiety. And there's a tendency to just feel like, is there really a way to protect ourselves, to protect our children, to protect our future? Maybe you're not even worried for others. You're worried for yourself. You know the things that God has saved you from. But every time, you don't even have to step out of your house. You just have to put on your phone. And there are temptations all around. And so the psalmist in Psalm 119 from verse 9 is probably facing a similar situation. It says, how? Somebody say, how? How can a young man keep his way pure? Like, even when you're not looking for girls, girls are looking for you. Even when you're not looking for how to rip people off, there are opportunities waiting for you. In this world, how? How can a young man keep his way pure? But what does the next sentence say? Can somebody read it with me in the name of Jesus? By taking heed according to your word. Don't be discouraged. The word of the Lord is the answer. It says, by guarding it according to your word. It says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander away from your commandments. Can we pray this prayer? Say, Father, let me not wander away from your commandments. He says, your word have I hid in my heart and I may not sin against you. Probably you may have a struggle. Probably you may have a habit. Maybe you have a weakness or a situation and you are wondering how can I keep my way pure? The psalmist said, your word have I hid in my heart. If you hide the word of God long enough in your heart, it will show on the outside. And that's the solution. Continue to hide the word of God in your heart. Continue to hide the word of God in your heart. It doesn't matter how long you've struggled, you will win with the word. You may say, I said I was not going to do this. I did this again. I'm condemned. I'm this. Put those things aside and go to the word. What does the word of God say about you? What does the word of God say about who you are in Christ? There is a mechanism to keeping your way pure. And it's by aligning it to the word of God. Ephesians 6 calls the word of God the sword of the spirit. And whether you like it or not, you don't live in a neutral world. You need to show up with your sword. Some of us feel like, I don't have voila. You are behaving like someone that they threw into a battlefield and the person said, I don't want to fight. Just leave me. I just want peace. I don't want to waste my days. I just want to spend them on enjoyment. You've been thrown into the battlefield, each and every one of us. Don't go swordless. Go with the word. Go with the word to succeed. The word of God gives us wisdom for daily life, for our finances. It was from the book of Proverbs I learned early enough not to owe people for long. From the book of Proverbs. Some of you would treat your staff better if you studied your Bible better. Hello. Some of you will be better employees if you studied your Bible better. You will be a better partner in your relationship if you studied better. You will gossip less. You won't gossip at all. You know the way Christians gossip now. Anyway, let's just be praying for her. 99 minutes to talk. 1 minute. 1 minute to talk about praying. You will have less anger issues if you studied your Bible better. You'll be less money conscious. And maybe even better financially inclined if you studied better. You will know how to relate with people better. It was the word of God that taught me. This one, some of us need it. When you go to a king's house to eat, just because they say feel at home, am I preaching? Not because they say feel at home, you now finish all the food. Someone offered you a bed in their house to sleep. The foodstuff their mom still bought from them, you won't finish it in one day. If some of you studied your Bibles, that place that you are, what's it called? That you are, is it not perching? Squatting. They won't pursue you so easily. Because from scriptures, you will learn when you have small money, you buy food stuff. From scriptures, you will learn you are staying in your brother's house with him and his wife. You cannot not do house chores. Who will do it? They're telling me to wash plates. Why do they have to tell you? Who will wash the plates? Are you paying rent? I don't vex all the Gen Z's. I'm not sorry. Say, in fact, somebody is picking you up. Why am I preaching this? Holy Ghost. They are picking you up to take you to work every day. You have not bought fuel once. Then you now insist on being the one to sit down in front. If I'm the one, I will set needle for you. Some of us, if you study your Bible, you will just be wiser generally. Go back to the word. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The wisdom in the word cannot be found anywhere else. The word of God will help you live above sin. It will help you live wisely. The word of God will heal you. The word of God will heal you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bind up the brokenhearted. The word of God will do in your life what all the breakup songs could not do. You have been singing last. Everybody got up. There's a psychology to that song that even bothers me. Like, they broke your heart, fine. Why? It's about you. Don't make it about us. And then some people that lack discernment, that's what they are singing on their wedding day. I saw one groom with his friends. Yes, sir. I felt like putting my hand into the phone to slap him. The word of God will heal you. And for a number of us, there are areas in your life you've been hurt. You've been hurt by friends. You are too scared to try a new business. You've been hurt by family. You are too scared to go into a relationship. You are too scared to put yourself out there. Go and soak yourself in the word. You are too scared to dream because you've been dreaming and it's not coming to pass. By the time you put yourself in front of the mirror and you see a man like Joseph, it changes you. It changes your perspective. That, oh, I had a dream. It didn't work out. I've given up. Then you see somebody that dreamt. And then problem after problem, his brother sold him. So he finds himself from being his father's favorite child to being a slave in no man's land. You know, yesterday, one of my children told me that she was going to run away. I don't remember what we did. I think it was about snacks. I said, please don't run. She said, I'll just run. I said, where will you sleep? What if they kidnap you? She's like, oh no, you guys don't want me to have what I want. I'm going to take my bags and leave the lol. I'm like, it's a jungle out there. Joseph finally finds respite in that he's gone to Potiphar's house. He's a big boy there. Things are finally looking up. Maybe what I saw about the moon's bounty, maybe it was just the mops and the other servants. This is looking good. Then out of nowhere, Jezebel. And then he's accused. You know, it's better to be accused of murder than to be accused of rape. He's in prison. And in prison, they are asking him to interpret dreams. What an insult. Some of you, in that prison, you will not talk to anybody. Am I supposed to be here with you people? I'm innocent. I know everybody says that, but my own is true. Why am I interpreting? Okay, to what end? Of what use? But when you look at the word of God and you see what he went through, and you realize, I'm not really going through anything now. At least I'm not yet in prison. I'm like, and I will not be in Jesus' name. Oh, your Nigerian mothers have blessed you so much. Glory be to God. The word of God will heal you. It will encourage you. Another thing I want to say is that the word of God is living. The word of God is a living thing. The word of God is living. I wanted that to sink for a moment. What does it mean that the word of God is living? An email is not a living thing. So if I send an email, it can't perceive the situation at hand and respond accordingly. But if I go by myself and I tell you something, I'm able to gauge the situation and respond accordingly. But the word of God does not even need to be told. Let me show you something. I want us to read this very carefully. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 12 as I begin to round off. We're going to read it in sentences. We'll take a break from there. The first part says, for the word of God is what? I'm going to wait for you. The word of God is what? The word of God is living and active, living and powerful. In other words, sometimes what they are preaching about might not even be what you need to be healed. But because the word of God is living, you can be healed. You know, Pastor was preaching one day and he was talking about the person Celebration Church recognizes as the greatest footballer in the world. I mean, Pastor has traveled, but I'm loyal. And he said, you know, Messi is the greatest footballer in the world. Remember the mercies of God. And somebody said, the person was talking about the other guy who we did not recognize in CCI Global. You can check our membership book, it's there. And the person said, but we are Christians. It's almost like blasphemy, Seth. Have you CCI blasphemy? Wait, we are streaming. Please ignore everything I just said. And the person said, but we are Christians. That person, she had been bleeding for weeks. As soon as she said, we are Christians, the bleeding ceased. So, in an environment where the word of God is being taught, can I let you know something? Anything is possible. We might be quiet, my voice might be small, but the word of God is living and active. It's living and active. Anything is possible in the word. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is so powerful. For the areas of your life you thought nothing could reach, the word of God can reach. For the areas of your life you thought nothing could pierce through, the word of God can pierce through. It says it pierces even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrows. If it's a spiritual issue, the word of God can reach. If it's a physical issue, the word of God can reach. If it's emotional, the word of God can reach. It says it judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that's for those of you who say, I get coconut head, I need to hear. The word of God can reach you. Praise the name of Jesus. Why the word, my final response today, is because the word of God is our assurance of a future. Imagine Abraham, he tells his wife, we are going to Joppa. And she's like, oh, to where? I hear Canada is amazing at this time of the year. Abraham is like, no. She's like, oh, do you mean like the US? No. Dominican Republic? No. I'm afraid to say this, but Nigeria? You don't wish it on them, right? She says no. She's like, oh, okay, I'm out of surprises. Like, I don't know. And he's like, to a place that God will show us. And so I'll be like, oh my God, I've not heard about it before. Is it to the east or to the west? Are we going to fly? What does it look like? Who is there right now? Is that the nickname of the place? The place that God will show you? El Shoei? To a place that I will show you. All he had was the word. But he could bank on it. 100 years old man. God told him he was going to give him a son. He believed. I like the way the Bible puts it, that he gave them strength to conceive. Giving birth is different. So even getting to the point where at 90-something, you can have the strength to conceive. Single people can never understand. That's fine. They could bank on the word. The things written were written aforetime, so that through the patience and comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. We might have hope. We might have hope. The word of God gives you hope for the future. For an eternal future and for the future here. Jacob is moving around with the blessing, yet he digs a well and they pour sand inside. You have to understand, they didn't take the well to drink the water. They just did it to spite him. But he keeps going again. Because let me tell you something, the flowers like the ones in my office may fade, but the word of God abides forever. And you can bank on it. You can trust the word of God. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. How? I don't know how, but he said it. The celebration church you are seeing today is based on that single principle. I'll never forget. I was like 18. Pastor gathered all of us. We were 5. We were on veranda and church, CU chapel. Say, so how do we take Lagos for Jesus? How many places have I been to Lagos by myself at that age? How do we take? I was always looking at him, eh? 19-year-old boy. Say, so we're going to build. There are some things that Pastor said then. I don't say them outside up till now. The word of God abides forever. It doesn't matter what everybody else has said. What has God said? Check your life. What has God said about you? Those moments in the word that light came to you, but then the troubles of life, situations came, and you began to doubt the word of God. See, yeah, your conviction will align to the word. Don't let the word of God align to your conviction based on what happened. Your conviction should align to the word of God. God is speaking in Isaiah 46 from verse 10. He says, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times what is to come. And I say, ha, I love this so much. My purpose will stand and all my good pleasure I will accomplish. In my life, God's purpose will stand. In my family, his good pleasure will be established. In my nation, God's purpose will stand. Concerning everything about me, his good pleasure will be accomplished. In the name of Jesus. So God's word doesn't just inform us about how to move now. It brightens our path for the future. And so for us, light is not just for the present, it's for the future. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Even when situations don't remind us, we know. Because the word of God abides forever. The word of God abides forever. How do I know that on the last day, I'm not going to be crying? You know, when we were small, and you wake up in the night, and you don't see anybody around you, and then maybe that's the day they did laundry, and there are some clothes lying around. When I was a child, my immediate older sister was the most spiritual of us. So when I feared that rapture had happened, I would just go and look for her. Once I see Toju, Jesus has not come. There is no way he will come and leave her. But now we understand that our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether it's concerning your eternal destiny or your destiny here on earth, you can trust God. You can trust his word. I know the plans that I have towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's the word of the Lord to you today. Say, in my life, the word of God abides forever. Can you rise to your feet? And you're going to pray one prayer this morning. Father, I trust in your word. I treasure your word. I'm giving you a moment to rise up because we're going to pray fervently. I treasure your word and I trust in your word. And regardless of what's going on around me, I trust in you. Pray in the name of Jesus. Eso no mote na mata na mate ke zundo no mote ke pele te ke pete ke tongshina mataya. Reiterate your commitment in the word. Zenda masutika shana matele mene ke tokobone ke tekebe. Whose reports will you believe? Concerning my family, I believe the reports of the Lord. Concerning my business, I believe the report of the Lord. Over this habit, I believe the report of the Lord. He sonomo tolomoti sana machine le bele tekete. Zeko shuti bashana kapale tekebe tekete. Lamba namate. No longer will I observe lying vanities. No longer will I drink from broken cisterns. Why will I trust in the stars and in the horoscopes when the one who created them lives on my inside? Father, I trust you. Why will I believe the lies of my past when the one who holds trust him. Father, I trust you. I hold on to your word. I hold fast to your promises. Concerning my nation and my generation, I don't observe lying vanities. I observe the truth of your word. Concerning my children, those that are here and those that are coming. Concerning my marriage, I hold on to the truth of your word. Concerning my daily walk of sanctification, I trust you to lead me. There's no reason for me to stumble in the darkness. There's no reason for me to keep making the same mistakes. The devil has never fulfilled any promise before. So why should you believe him above the one who is yes and amen? Above the one who extends his word to perform it. I want to give you 2 minutes and say, in my life, my convictions are built on the word. I declare that Jesus and his word has the final say. Hey, tolomoti na mashute. Zenton shiketi manatalabate. Concerning my health, Jesus has the final say. Lesson katina. Concerning my business, Jesus has the final say. In this solid year, Jesus has the final say. Isa manata. Concerning my relationship and my parents and that project I worked on, Jesus has the final say. He's hastening his word to perform it. Lasoni matalabate kesutoko. You have listened to the lies of the devil for too long. Now listen to the truth of the word of God. He who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. It doesn't matter the challenge, you are free indeed. It doesn't matter the curses, you are free indeed. It doesn't matter the habits, you are free indeed. Hey, son of Koshina matalabate. Je me sou sote le petit de bataille. Begin to declare the word of God over that area of your life. You got to a point where you said, let me just manage it like that. But my Bible tells me, who is it to decree a thing and it will be established when the Lord of hosts has not decreed it? Decree what God has decreed over you. Decree what God has decreed over your nation. Decree what God has decreed over your family. If Jesus did not care about the desires of your heart, he wouldn't say, ask anything in my name according to my will and it will be done. If he didn't care about your marital life, he won't remind you that God puts the solitary in family and makes the barren a fruitful mother of children. If he didn't care about you living above sin, he won't remind you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Build roots. Build solid roots in the word. Devil, we come against you and your lies. We come against you and your lies over our generation. We come against you and your lies latter over this nation. We come against you and your lies over our family and our businesses. The word of God abides forever. Right now, we uproot roots of discouragement. We uproot roots of depression. And we plant roots of encouragement. We plant roots of joy. We uproot roots of foolishness. And with the word of God, we plant roots of wisdom.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.